morning and welcome to Up to Date. Steve Kraske is off this week. I'm Brian Ellison. Johnson County, Kansas is one of the jewels of the Kansas City region. By all accounts, it's known for its beautiful parks, its great schools. A ranking in the New York Times in June ranked it out of the country's 3,000 counties the 11th easiest to live in. But some would say it's not as easy as it should be. Some worry about the future of transportation or roads. Others about a border war with Missouri that hurts economic stability. Others about the ability of the county to continue providing for seniors or those who don't financially have it so easy. Next week, voters will cast their votes for chair of the county's Board of Commissioners. That's the highest elected office in Johnson County. They'll narrow the field of three candidates down to the two who will be on the November ballot. All three of those candidates are here with us today for a candidate forum. It's their last one before Tuesday's election. Ed Eilert has been the board chair since 2010. Before that, he was a commissioner and was mayor of Overland Park. Chair Eilert, welcome to the program.
Brian, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Ed Peterson is another Johnson County commissioner, has been since 2003. He was previously mayor of Fairway. Commissioner Peterson, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Patricia Leitner works in the Office of the Kansas Securities Commissioner. She served three terms in the Kansas House of Representatives. Representative Leitner, welcome to you.
Thank you, Brian.
Glad to have all three of you here. And we do want to invite our listeners, if you have questions for the candidates, you can send them to us even now. We're on Twitter at KCUR UpToDate. You can also email us UpToDate@KCUR.org. I want to ask all three of you first. You all have experience professionally. You have experience in government. Each of you has a particular personality and a set of skills or talents. Where do you think your abilities and background most intersect with the current needs of Johnson County and with the job of chair? Let me start with you, Chair Eilert.
Well, just a little bit about my background. My career started as a high school business teacher. My last year was at Shawnee Mission East several years ago, and I exchanged the classroom for the boardroom, spent about 40 years as a financial advisor in the investment business, became involved in elected local government at City of Overland Park, both as a councilman and mayor, and then was elected to the county commission in 06 and to the chair position in 2010. I've continued my experience in business. I've served on the board of a community bank. I currently serve on the board of a trust company. And I've used that wealth of business experience, both in the private sector as well as the government sector, to assist me in making sound business judgments about county operations.
Patricia Leitner?
Thank you, Brian. I have a pretty varied background experience. I've worked in government in different levels throughout my working career. Started out with the federal government with the FAA as an enforcement attorney. Went to the RTC as a litigation attorney. Served, as you mentioned, 6 years in the State House. And I think my legislative experience brings a lot in regards to this position. I worked on budgets, in particular the social services budget, as well as, of course, as a whole with the body on the floor approving the whole state government budget. I think I bring a different background. I am not one who has served many years in our local government, so I think I bring a fresh approach, and I'm looking at various issues where I think we could do a lot of improvements. In particular, I think that we should do something like put some measurements in place for some of the programs we're putting dollars on. I mean, there's a whole host of issues, but I'll wait until further in the program. Thank you.
Okay. Let's talk to Commissioner Ed Peterson.
First, Brian, thank you for having us for this forum. It's an important race, and I think we've had far too few opportunities to share our views with the community. So thank you for hosting us. My background is much like many Johnson Countyans. I grew up in a small southeast Kansas community. I did my undergraduate work at Wichita State, and I went to law school in Boston. I returned here and eventually ended, after working with the state for a while, ended up in private practice, and I've been in private practice for about 30 years now. I have enjoyed a long-term and rewarding career in public service. I started in Fairway on the city council. I served then for 9 years as mayor. That is a great job because when you do the right thing, you know about it immediately, and if you do the wrong thing, you're facing your neighbors down in the grocery store the next day. So from that, I've served 12 years on the county commission. I believe my experience allows me to lead the county in a direction based on what I've observed the last several years, into the direction that we need to be going for the future, and we'll flesh that out as we go forward.
Well, let's start fleshing that out with some questions about the economic situation, the budgetary situation in Johnson County. Obviously, that's been the topic of a lot of attention. Property values are rising in the county. Even so, the current draft of the county budget that's up for consideration right now includes a mill levy increase. On Monday night this week, members of the Kansas Legislature and the State Banking Board came and showed up at the county commission meeting to ask you, those Ed Eilert and Ed Peterson, who are on the board now, not to blame the state and its elimination of the mortgage registration fee, saying that that's not an excuse for a tax increase. My question is this. Do taxes need to increase in Johnson County for the county to continue to function at the level that it should? Ed Peterson, let me start with you.
Well, revenues need to increase, and I think we need to explore other options before we turn to the taxation option. The situation that we find ourselves in is that we simply cannot pay for what we have and the needs that we know are there with the revenues that we expect and the revenues that might be generated with anticipated growth. So we're going to have to find additional revenue sources.
And like what, besides taxes?
Well, my list of priorities is, first of all, we have some areas of our budget that have robust reserves. Those should be tapped first. Second, we need to form partnerships. There are a number of services we provide that intersect with either nonprofit or, in some cases, the private sector benefit. So we need to form partnerships with them. Third, we need to be much more aggressive about seeking federal funds that are available through grants. And then finally, I think we need to look at fees and taxation after we've exhausted these other sources.
Okay. That's Ed Peterson. Ed Eilert, do taxes need to increase in Johnson County?
Just a very brief history. The last 3 years, 3.5 years, we've been dealing with what I call the Great Recession, one of the worst economic periods in our national economy since really the Great Depression. In doing that, we have merged departments. We've gained efficiencies in our government operation, and we made a commitment not to increase the property tax rate. Because of those efforts, we've saved the taxpayers about $40 to $45 million over the last 3.5, 4 years. The issue, one of the significant issues, and I testified before the Senate and before the House committees in regard to this issue, the mortgage registration fee is about a $17 million a year revenue source for the county. It's been in place since the 1920s. And the legislature decided to do a 5-year phase out. You can do the numbers, but it means about $45 to $48 million less in revenue over the next 5 years. So our challenge is going to be to go back, to reexamine what we've done in the past, and prioritize, look for opportunities that perhaps we haven't thought about before in delivering the services.
So would you or would you not say that a tax increase is necessary for the county to continue to maintain the level of services that you think it needs?
The final decisions on the budget will be made at our August 14 meeting, and we are continuing to look for ways to reduce the mill levy impact, which is projected now to be about 0.66 mills, which would be about $1.50 a month on the average home value in Johnson County. But we will continue to look to reduce that number.
Patricia Leitner, you're not currently serving on the county commission like these two are. How do you see it? Do taxes need to increase in Johnson County to maintain the level of services that you expect Johnson County to provide?
Well, Brian, I guess I come from a different perspective because my answer to that is no. Taxes shouldn't have to be increased because the natural progression of the rising valuations on our homes is going to already deliver something like another 9-10 additional million right there. And you look at the fact, I mean, when I hear the talk about the mortgage registration tax and how whatever that figure is going to be, and there's different ones tossed around, whether it's from the legislature or whether it's from the board members, that money, according to the board members, is a loss to the county budget. Well, I look at that as a gain to the families and the businesses to have more money in their pockets to spend. And I think the county needs to learn to live within its means. I think we need to look for the waste, and it's out there, and to cut that. You know, we just have to look at the King Louis building, and we know that that was millions wasted that could have been used for this budget for 2015. But it was a bad decision made, and it's cost the taxpayers millions to purchase it, and it's going to cost the taxpayers probably millions to get out of it.
Well, let me ask you all. You've all made reference to taking a close look at the services being provided. I think probably most public officials support eliminating waste where they can find it. Patricia Leitner, you've called elsewhere for reducing taxes. Others say they've been cut as far as they can. What specific expenditures, what services or jobs or areas of government do you think can legitimately be cut in Johnson County at this point?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do, or the first thing that I would do if I was elected chair, is I would have an independent audit review done of the budget. And we would go through agency by agency, and we would look at the personnel. We would look at the programs. The one thing I don't understand is there are no measurements in place for a lot of the programs and other monies we spend as to what their measurement is on their success. And I don't know how you can manage without having measurement of those. So that's one of the first things I'd want to do. The second thing, most important thing, is the bus transportation. I know bus transportation can be important, but when you see empty buses all the time, except for maybe going to Lawrence back and forth, then you've got to say, there could be some savings there. One of the things that's been talked to me by people out in the field is the bid purchase contracts, for instance, for office supplies. They're not being bid in the sense of where a number of folks can actually bid. I mean, when you put out a bid and you say, we only want this certain type of furniture and only one dealer is allowed to carry it in the area, that's not a bid. And the county's probably paying full purchase price as opposed to getting a better deal.
All right. So Ed Peterson, you hear Patricia Leitner say these things, that there are places that the county could be getting a better deal. She mentions buses. I think among all the candidates in your prior appearances, you've probably spoken the most about the need to actually restore county services or increase in certain areas. How would you pay for that? And are there areas where you think there can be cuts made?
Well, I would first of all respond by noting we have a terrific management team in place. I would pit them against any Fortune 500 company, and they're constantly looking for ways to be more efficient, effective, and lower cost operation. 4 years ago, Mr. Eilert promised that he would end a deficit that then existed, and he would do so without raising taxes. 4 years later, with all the cuts that he mentioned earlier, with the reduction in staff by 12%, the deficit's back. We're now looking at projected budgets for the next 5 years that have a expected tax increase just to keep what we have. That's not to deal with all of the major issues that have been procrastinated, put off for the future. So if we're going to deal with future needs and sustain the level that we have, we're going to have to find some additional revenues. And again, I would search for those in the priority that I mentioned in the previous question.
Yeah, and now Ed Eilert, Ed Peterson, was just critical of some of the ways this leadership has been carried out in the last few years. Last week in a forum that was moderated by our Steve Kraske, you actually called Ed Peterson's approach a tax and spend approach. Is that how you – could you explain a little more what you mean by that, Ed Eilert?
Well, I've served with Mr. Peterson now for 7 or 8 years on the commission. And you can go back a few years ago. He advocated a 1 mill levy increase to provide an additional $7 million for public transit. He suggested a mill levy increase to pay for a $150-200 million courthouse. We disagree on, both of those items. I would say this. My direction and the majority of the commission's direction to the county manager this year on the 2015 budget was to bring us a budget which did not have a mill levy increase. Two issues impacted that. One was the elimination of the mortgage registration fee by the state legislature. Absent that, that's about a $3.25 million hole. And the second was adding 42 new employees to the sheriff's department. Again, that's about a $2.5 million addition. So those are two particular challenges that we're dealing with this year and are going to be with us in the future.
You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. We're talking today with the three candidates for Johnson County Chair. We want to know how you would help, how you would make your decision. What do you need to know? What questions would you ask the candidates? We're looking today for honest questions from Johnson County voters, questions that all three of the candidates could answer. Give us a call. We're at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also email your questions to uptodate@kcur.org. You can even find us on Twitter. We're at @KCURUpToDate. So one of the solutions to financial shortfalls in any county would be even further economic development in the county. I guess I want to know from you, are you satisfied with economic development at this moment in the life of Johnson County? And how specifically would you promote more economic development than the county has so far seen? Ed Eiler?
Well, the county has a limited ability in the area of economic development. Our responsibility is for the unincorporated area, which is primarily residential, large lots, 5 acres, 10 acres. We do have economic development opportunities at the New Century Airport, and that's the specific area of responsibility that we have. Most of the economic development in Johnson County occurs at the city level with their private sector partners. And the county, I think, needs to continue to work, needs to continue to emphasize the programs that support those cities' efforts, such as the CARS program in the area of streets, stormwater management programs, those kind of efforts, sanitary sewer programs, very important to support the economic development in the county. So that's where we can have the most impact, is to support our city partners in that effort.
Patricia Leitner, how specifically would you promote economic development in Johnson County?
Brian, it's very simple for me. It's lowering taxes. Both my opponents a couple weeks ago voted to raise taxes in Johnson County on our property. I would have been a no vote. I think when you have lower taxes, you're able to stimulate the economy. People can grow their businesses. They can open another store, hire new employees. Families have more money in their pockets to spend. It has to be a place where people and businesses feel that if they came here, they could really grow their business. And that's what it's about. That's how you get things going. And by the way, you also need to loosen regulations. I've heard from one gentleman where, you know, wanting to put a franchise out in the unincorporated area, but the cost is so great with all the regulations with the county has that he's not able to do that right now because it's too expensive. It's too costly.
Okay. Ed Peterson?
The role of government in economic development is to provide a fertile environment for the types of businesses that it hopes to attract. I think the county does have certain functions that it performs that contribute greatly to that. Public transit is a key ingredient. More and more employers are looking for adequate public transit. And I should explain the vote that was referenced earlier on the tax increase for public transit was actually a vote whether or not to continue a plan that had been previously adopted by the commission to expand public transit to a full service 7 days a week. That vote represented a retreat from a prior commitment that this county made to public transit. It's a mistake, and it needs to be reversed. I think those kinds of services are critical to economic development. That's certainly something that's available for the county. And finally, I would add one thing. The state of Missouri has taken a very small step toward reducing the border war conflict, and I think it's important that local and state officials begin to work together on the Kansas side to find an appropriate response.
Let me follow up to a couple of things that you brought up that several of you have mentioned. First of all, on the busing, Patricia Leitner said earlier that the buses are running empty as they are, that's a place to look as a place to make possible cuts. It sounds like you're saying, Ed Peterson, that you'd like to see more invested in buses. Am I hearing the two of you correctly? And then I want to get Ed Eiler's take on that, too. Ed Peterson?
I definitely believe we need to expand service so that we have all-day transit that runs regularly enough that people are able to rely on it to get to and from where they want to go.
But what about this charge that the buses are empty? People aren't using them.
I ride the bus occasionally. I have never ridden on an empty bus. In fact, I've never been on a bus that had fewer than 8 to 10 people during the course of the trip. That's not been my experience. I think sometimes people see a bus that's completed its run, it's on its way back for service, that's empty. But for the most part, our bus services are utilized. We constantly analyze if routes are underperforming. We reduce them or eliminate them.
Patricia Leitner, why aren't you satisfied with that answer?
Well, because I'm still seeing empty buses. So I'm still for the game plan of an audit review of which routes are working, which routes aren't, restreamlining. I think one of the problems we have with Johnson County itself and the bus system is, one, we're still too affluent. Two, we don't have the dense population that really requires, that needs a bus service. So I think that's just something we need to totally take into review with everything else.
And Eilert, would you invest more in buses or less in buses, or would you keep them as they are?
Let me give you an example. My colleague seconded the motion during this budget process hearing to add an additional $1 million for bus service on nights and weekends on Metcalf. Now, we're not running enough customers during the day on the 13 or 14 routes that we have on Metcalf alone. So
would you cut bus service then?
I think we need to maintain where we're at, analyzing the current service that we have, making adjustments in routes that do not have the proper number of riderships, and use that kind of approach. We also need to look at alternatives. One of them that we did in the last year is 1010 Taxi for special needs transportation, saving $500,000 a year the first year. That's my approach.
All right. Another related question, transportation, is about roads, and I think we have a question here from Mike in Overland Park. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on. I'm glad to hear Mr. Peterson say that he's interested in supporting the public transportation. And it's interesting that they mentioned Metcalf, because that's my question, which is I'm interested in how much each candidate is committed to the beautification and pedestrian bike lane of Metcalf. Right now it only extends up to about 79th Street. I'm wondering if they are all – how much each candidate is committed to extending that all the way up north or continuing upward on Metcalf as opposed to stopping where it is presently.
Thanks so much for the call, Mike. He called us at 816-235-2888. He asks about extending the pedestrian bike path on Metcalf. Maybe you could even answer more broadly about pedestrian bike paths throughout Johnson County. Ed Peterson?
That's a great question, because it really raises the viewpoint that we have of how we're going to develop and redevelop our interior part of the county. I am committed to the continuation of those kinds of developments, whether Metcalf is the next line for extension, I can't say. We've also abandoned the development of our Streamway Park system. We used to have funds in place to continually expand and maintain that. Those funds have been used for other purposes. I think all of these modes of transportation, pedestrian, bike, bus service, and, of course, the automobile is going to continue to be prevalent. All of those have to be mixed. We have to look toward intermodal combinations of service, and they need to be the type of development that will support redevelopment and mixed-use developments within our community.
Ed Eilert, the pedestrian bike path on Metcalf?
Those kind of decisions are really up to the city, and it's their responsibility to design and build the walkways, the streets that are within their corporate limits. The county really does not determine that kind of decision. The CARS program I mentioned does support that kind of activity. And the current pathways and bus kiosk on Metcalf were paid for by federal funds, I think about $10 million. So, yes, I would encourage the cities to continue to move in that direction, but the final decision is their responsibility, not the county.
Patricia Leitner, do you want to see county expenditures on that sort of program, extending bike and pedestrian paths? Do you have a view on that?
You know, Brian, I would think the easiest thing again here would be to say, it's again, it comes down to an audit. What are we currently spending money on? And the big thing always with the budget is to prioritize needs versus wants. And that would be one of my founding principles with planning the budget, and that would certainly be a factor.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Patricia Leitner, Ed Eilert, and Ed Peterson, the candidates for Johnson County Chair, each of them standing for election to the highest elected office of Johnson County. Also, later in our program, it's today's Local Listen, so stay with us. I'm Brian Ellison. You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. Welcome back to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. Today we're talking with the three candidates for Johnson County Chair: Ed Eilert, the board chair since 2010, Ed Peterson, another Johnson County commissioner since 2003, and Patricia Leitner, former state representative. They're all here vying to be one of the two candidates who will move forward to the November ballot when Johnson County voters go to the polls next Tuesday. We want to hear from you. We'd love to hear your questions at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. We're still checking our email at uptodate@kcur.org and watching for your questions on Twitter at @KCURUpToDate. Let's take a call from Cindy in Shawnee. She has a question for all three of our candidates. Cindy, welcome to Up to Date.
Thanks so much. I'd like to ask each of the candidates to explain how they might increase transparency in county government. It seems in the last 4 years, things have become less transparent.
All right, Cindy. Thanks for the question. Do you agree with Cindy that in the last 4 years, things have become less transparent? And what would you do to increase transparency? Ed Eilert.
No, I don't agree that there's been less transparency in county government. We have worked very, very hard and revamped our public information office, and we have new publications that are excellent, explaining what's going on at the county level. Every one of our business stations is broadcast by one of the cable providers, as well as streamed on computer, the internet. We make a major, major effort to publicize whenever we meet. And in fact, this past year, we held budget hearings or budget forums in every commission district in the county. So, no, I don't agree with the lack of transparency. We continue to examine all efforts in that area.
And do you think there's room for increasing it? Would you take any further steps?
You continue to evaluate, look at the technology that's available, and make sure that that every opportunity is taken advantage of.
Patricia Leitner, as the one who's not currently on the county commission, do you see it the same way?
Well, as far as actual meetings, I'm sure those are fine. My big question on this is the budget. When you read the county budget, it's very difficult to read. And you can't find everything that I think should be there for the average person to be able to pick it up and know where the county is spending their monies, our monies. And so that would be one of my first goals, too, would be to make it a clearer, more defined, more open and transparent budget that actually shows where those monies are going. And, of course, to make sure that the outreach services that Chair Eilert just spoke about are there and in place for people when they do have questions about different things that the county is doing.
Ed Peterson, what would you do to make the county more transparent, or do you think it needs it?
I think that we have become too casual in the way we're making our decisions, and that is lapsing into a lack of transparency. I do think our community outreach efforts, such as the new publication and the public hearings that we've had on the budget, are a great step toward reaching out to the community. But in terms of our own internal decision-making, we have begun to make too many decisions in our meetings in the basement. What started out as study sessions have kind of lapsed into informal decision making. Yesterday, we made a decision on appointment of a doctor for our public health. That initially started off, it was on the consent agenda, non-controversial. It was tabled indefinitely. During the period that it was tabled, five commissioners managed to reach a conclusion that this doctor was not appropriate. And yesterday we voted against appointing that doctor. None of those conversations occurred in public. And I think we need to take some steps to solidify the fact that our decisions are being made in public and the public's views are being heard.
Let me take the call on that we have coming in here from Teresa in Shawnee. I believe she wants to ask about that very topic. Teresa, welcome to Up to Date.
Hi, yes, I was very much concerned initially when that vote came up about that very qualified person there was some pressure from Mary Kay Culp, and then the final decision, which obviously I'm concerned about the stance of the individual candidates on this. Someone who is very qualified, a KU physician who serves in that role for Wyandotte County, that we need in Johnson County. So I would like to hear everyone's stance on that, and it should have been public information how they voted.
Thanks for the call, Teresa. Let me just sort of fill in the story a little bit for our listeners, for those not familiar. Dr. Alan Greiner, a physician researcher at KU Medical Center, he was proposed for appointment by county staff as the public health officer. He had served that role in Wyandotte County. His appointment received opposition from the Kansans for Life PAC and some others. It was defeated yesterday on a 2-5 vote by the commission. Chair Eilert, you voted against Dr. Greiner's appointment. Can you say why?
Several weeks ago, when the motion was tabled, it was tabled on a 5-2 vote. That was a public vote taken at the county commission meeting. That vote did not change. And yesterday it was 5-2 to not recommend the appointment. In the case of Dr. Greiner, my position was this. I have no questions about his medical ability. I think he's an excellent doctor, and that was not the issue. But it was his actions away from delivering medical services in regards to a hearing in Topeka. And I felt that the possibility that those actions would continue to divert attention, had he been hired, divert attention away from the important mission of the public health department. And that was where my decision came from, plus the fact I think we have a very qualified alternative.
Chair Eilert, I want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. Was it his actions in Topeka, the things he testified, that caused you to oppose his nomination, or was it the fact that it would be a distraction from his work as
well? Well, the distraction was as a result of his actions away from delivering medical services, yes.
All right. Commissioner Peterson, you voted for Dr. Greiner's appointment. Why was that?
First of all, it was apparent that he was an outstanding selection for this process or for this position. I was very moved by the public testimony. That is the most powerful public testimony I have seen in my years of public service. So, as well as his qualifications are concerned, he was excellent. I'm very concerned about the process that was used here. It creates the appearance that an outside group can influence our personnel decisions, and the fear of that outside group will continue to influence our decision-making going forward. And I think that's dangerous. I think what we should do is select the right person and stand up for them.
What's the outside group you're referring to?
Well, my understanding is it's Kansans for Life that have intervened in this particular case.
Okay. So, Ms. Leitner, you've actually been endorsed by Kansans for
that's
Life
correct.
For this office. Would you have opposed the appointment of Dr. Greiner?
Absolutely, I would have.
And why?
And let me tell you why. First of all, if this doctor created this public outcry, then the public got involved. And isn't that what our county's about? It's about the citizens, and they should have a say in the selection. And if there was a group, and I would say it would be a pretty nice-sized group, that was upset with this particular selection, then it was proper to turn this doctor down. There are lots of fine doctors in Johnson County that we can choose that wouldn't have this kind of opposition. So if there was a question about his credentials and anything going forward, it was proper that it was a no vote and it was turned down.
You know, one of the comments that was made by another commissioner, Commissioner Steve Klicka, during the conversation yesterday at the commission meeting, he was the other one who voted with Ed Peterson in favor of Dr. Greiner's appointment, was he expressed his frustration that the abortion, politics of abortion, that this had become a political issue over an appointment. I guess I would be curious for all of you to respond to that. Do you feel like issues relating to abortion, pro-life issues, Ms. Leitner, on your website you say culture of life is a core
that's
commitment
right.
of yours. Do you think that's relevant to the office of county chair, Ms. Leitner?
Well, this whole situation became what it became because of the selection of this particular doctor. And let's be clear, this doctor was involved with an abortion clinic and had some decision-making on the side of that. So, and it all came into question in Topeka as well. So why would you want to nominate a controversial figure?
But more broadly, I mean, what is the relationship between these sorts of politics or these sorts of issues and the work of the chair of the county commission? Ed?
I would be glad to respond to that. there are various interests, and I would categorize them from A to Z, on issues that come before the county commission. And so we hear from a variety of groups who have specific interest on a specific item, and you receive that information. I think you have a responsibility to receive that information, to evaluate the information, and then reach your own conclusion based upon that evaluation.
And Ed Peterson, do you have a different take?
Well, I certainly agree that those groups have the right, and we have the obligation to consider the input that they provide. I think in this case it was a personnel decision, and that's where I would draw the line. I don't think any one particular interest group should be in a position of being able to influence this strongly a personnel decision. And that's my objection to the process that was followed here. It allowed one particular group to have that kind of influence.
Let me jump back to something else that that you said earlier, Ms. Leitner. You mentioned the King Louis purchase, and I think it's in this category of governance and transparency that's been raised by both the caller and some of these other questions. You mentioned the purchase by the county of the old King Louis bowling alley building down on Metcalf. In the forum last week that Steve Kraske moderated, in connection with that, you even used the word cronyism to discuss politics in Johnson County. What did you mean by that, Ms. Leitner?
Well, I say that because I was able to view a piece of tape from the meeting where the vote was taken, and Mr. Eilert clearly referred to the Mitchells, who the property was purchased from, as friends of the commission. And to me, that sounded like cronyism. The other thing was there was no defined plan in place. This purchase seemed to be ad hoc, and it was also done rather quickly because, according to a gentleman who was also on that tape, and I don't remember his title or his name, he was somewhere in an agency in the government, county needed to be sure and close this deal before the end of the year for tax purposes for the Mitchells. So there was no real – I mean, I guess there was some discussion in there about why they were purchasing the building. At the time, it was a suburbia museum and so on and so forth, although no other groundwork had been prepared ahead of time to ensure that this would be a success. But nonetheless, a good part of it leaned on we were doing this for the Mitchells.
Ed Eilert, why did the county make that purchase? Any
respectfully,
regrets?
I disagree with Ms. Leitner.
I thought you
that,
might.
on that characterization. Going back to the early 2000s, before my time, the county did a facility study. The museum was identified in the early 2000s needing to be replaced. In 2007, there was a flood at the museum, and part of the museum cannot be used anymore. Part of the building was built in the 1920s. The museum board came to the county in 2009 and said, we want $30 million to build a new facility. The commissioner said, no, go out in the marketplace. We're in the depths of the recession. See if you can find a building that's underutilized or that would be on the market for sale. My understanding is they identified the King Louis building, but the price was too high. And so in about November of 2011, they went back. The price had been reduced. The museum board recommended to the commission to buy the facility. It's a great facility, and I think is can be an important icon to relocate the historic museum and some other county operations. And we should move forward and utilize that facility for that purpose.
And I want to give you a chance to respond specifically to the word cronyism.
No, there was no cronyism at all. Somebody, I read somebody's blog who used that term, and it's just totally inaccurate. It's made up.
Ed Peterson?
I will be happy to put that link on my website.
That's fine.
All right. Ed Peterson, you also supported the purchase of King Louis, right?
I did, and I did not know any of the principals involved in the transaction. So any allegations of cronyism do not apply to me. You know, I believe that this was the right decision. It was done somewhat hurriedly, but the reason was that the price was greatly reduced because the sellers were in a position to be able to realize some tax benefits, and the tax benefits were expiring by the end of the year. And that's what prompted the haste. Now, I have learned a lesson from this, and that is whenever government begins to move into these areas that are not traditional established government functions, we need to have a clear plan to explain to the public before we jump. all of these decisions were made in open meetings. They were discussed. We were only advised on one occasion about the opportunity to purchase the building. We then moved into open session and discussed it fully. I'm not aware of any behind-the-scenes deals and transactions discussions as to this particular item.
And may I add, there were public hearings during that process, and we asked for public input and received it.
And that last voice was Ed Eilerts. Before that, Ed Peterson. We're also with Patricia Leitner, the three candidates here on KCUR today, as we're talking about the race for Johnson County, the Board of Commissioners chair. We're continuing that conversation. We'd love to have your questions at 816-235-2888. Also, you can email us at uptodate@kcur.org. That's what Wendell did. Wendell asks this question. Lately, I've heard statements regarding the increase of people in poverty within the county. What, if any, is the plan to address this issue before it becomes an even more overt situation? What's your plan for addressing poverty in Johnson County? Patricia Leitner?
Well, what we need to do is be sure that we provide, and we need to prioritize this as a very great need to provide the social services for these people that are struggling in this economy still. We need to make sure that we're funding programs that, again, that can be measured, their success, where we spend our dollars, what are being the most effective and efficient and actually helping the problem. And we need to provide not just a safety net for these people, we need to provide a safety trampoline so that we can help them regain their lives, get back on their feet, whether it's through going through job programs in the meantime, helping them with rent assistance, with food, with transportation in some kind of way.
So do you think the funding is adequate for those programs already, or would you have to raise some revenue somewhere to do it?
Probably at this point, I would need to still do an independent audit review and see, again, the effectiveness of what's being spent, where it's being spent, and what are the results. I don't know what the results are.
Ed Eilert?
I think the first step is to try to understand the reasons for the increase in those poverty levels. And just a snapshot, I think there are certainly more than one. In some cases, it's because of health issues. Other cases, it's because of disability. These folks have no other option. Other cases, it's a result of the Great Recession, people being laid off. And another possibility also is the inability to gain new skills for a new economy. And we need to continue to provide the safety net. We have 6 multi-service centers across the county, food pantries, some financial counseling. The other thing I think we need to do, and it's a complete stakeholder, not just the county, but there are excellent programs at the community college to gain new skills, new certifications, which could lead to new jobs. I think also our K-12 schools, we have some fine technical programs that need to be emphasized. For those who choose not to go to college, they've got a better opportunity for a marketable skill after high school graduation.
And let me just push back, as I did with Ms. Leitner. If those programs are already in place but poverty is increasing, what's going to change that?
Well, again, as the areas that the county has responsibility for, the multi-service centers, we also allocate community development block grants to help in some of these areas. So I think, again, if we can evaluate the reasons rather than saying, oh, my goodness, here's the situation, we need to be strategic about what we're doing.
All right. Ed Peterson?
I concur that we can expect an increase in demand for all kinds of services. This is a large, fast-growing part of our population. I do think the services that we already provide, the multi-service centers, public transit is another indicator or service that we provide that could have a direct bearing on these people. We need to begin to expand our child care delivery service that we already offer through our Parks Department. Those types of things would allow these people the flexibility to begin to address their situation. There's no single answer.
All right. Let's shift gears again. Let's take a call from Harold. He actually lives in Wyandotte County but has a question for these three Johnson County candidates. Harold, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Hal Walker, and I am a county commissioner in Wyandotte County. Recently, the KCAT, I'm going to return to public transit.
And, Hal, I need you to be pretty brief in your question. We're very limited time now.
I want to say before, I'm very impressed with all three candidates. The KCAT has began to make noise about a regional transportation authority. A lot of our people work in Johnson County and find it very difficult to get to the jobs, the better paying jobs that exist. I'd like to know the candidates' positions on joining in and being a part of a regional transportation authority, hoping for efficiencies and better routes and so forth. I'll take my question off the air and listen to, and I've worked with all but Patricia Leitner. I know they're quality people.
Great.
And I'd like to get an answer to where they stand on a regional transportation authority.
Appreciate the call very much, Commissioner Walker. Let me ask you, Ed Peterson, your stand on that?
We need to become in Johnson County leaders in these kinds of regional issues. I support the continued discussion with ATA. I believe we need to move deliberately as opposed to taking immediate dramatic steps, but that's an effort that has to be supported, and eventually Johnson County needs to take a leadership role.
Ed Eilert?
Hal Walker, good to hear from you. There currently is underway significant changes in the management structure and, in fact, the structure of the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority. Those changes need to continue to occur. I meet frequently with Mayor Holland, Mayor James, County Executive Mike Sanders, and this is one of the issues that we talk about at just about every meeting. I think those changes are positive. We'll have to await to see the final changes before going further than that.
And Patricia Leitner?
I recognize that area transportation is indeed very important. The term regionalism always is going to make me hesitate because it has so many connotations. I am all for some type of cooperation between counties. Again, though, as elected chair, my first responsibility would always be to Johnson County and our taxpayer dollars and our citizens here, and it would just depend on the situation.
I mean, let me ask about that regionalism matter. Do you think Johnson County is important for more than just Johnson County? Do you think connections with the rest of our listening area are actually important for this for the person in this position to maintain?
They're necessary if we're going to solve the regional problems that we confront. We have to deal with them on a regional basis.
That's Ed Peterson. Ed Eilert?
The importance of Johnson County to the metro area is very, very significant. If you look back at 2013 U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, Johnson County created about 9,800 jobs. In the Kansas City MSA area, there was a total net gain of 2,000. So without Johnson County, there would have been a loss of 7,000 jobs in the metro area. I think we need to continue that kind of leadership, cooperation, collaboration. But again, my first responsibility as chair is to the taxpayers of Johnson County. And we can cooperate, work together, but that's where I come from.
Patricia Leitner?
Johnson County is extremely important to the area. We're probably the greatest driving economic engine among the whole area. But again, as I would stress before, the regionalism concept has me hesitant. My first responsibility is to Johnson County, and it would be a matter of, if we use the word cooperation and see where that would lead, that's where I would be coming from.
I want to thank all three of our guests today. They are the three candidates on Tuesday's ballot for Johnson County Chair: Ed Eilert, the incumbent, Ed Peterson, another county commissioner, Patricia Leitner, the former state representative. Thanks to all three of you for being with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And the top two vote-getters will move on to the November ballot. Remember, if you have any questions for the candidates or want to know more information, you can find more at our website, kcur.org.